You run around with losers, you will end up a loser, unconsciously. Unconsciously, you will pick up their ways, you'll pick up their habits, you'll pick up, most importantly, their attitude about life. If you're around cynical, negative people all the time, you will become cynical and negative. So you got to watch yourself. Many of us are living out the lives of other people, living out their conclusions, living out of their consciousness. The other thing is that you begin to look at, looking at your life and looking at what it is that you want to achieve, another crucial thing that you must do is align yourself with powerful people. Align yourself with people that can encourage you, people that can empower you, people that you can learn from, people that you can grow from. You want to align yourself with people who think like you, people who dream like you, people who want more out of life, people that are stretching and searching and seeking some higher ground in life. See, it's easy to be on the bottom. It doesn't take any effort to be a loser. It doesn't take any motivation, any drive in order to stay down there on a low level. But it calls on everything in you, ladies and gentlemen. You have to harness your will to say, I'm going to challenge myself. Sometimes I have to pull myself out of bed and say, come on, Les. Things I know I should do, I don't do. Things I shouldn't do, I do. I found that the biggest enemy you have to deal with is yourself.
We're talking about two grown people. Somebody's got to surrender. You're talking about will now. You're talking about heart now. You're not talking about physicality. You're not talking about how you look. You're not talking about how strong you are. You're not talking about how tall you are, how fit you are. You're talking about will. You're talking about when you get to the point where it's two people and somebody got to tap out before the other person taps out. Will. Hearts. And so it is a mentality. This thing I love about Michael Jordan when Michael Jordan played. Michael Jordan had the flu. And he still put up 38 points. He played every single minute, took a break and got some Gatorade and came back, got some water, came back, right? Because he understood, I gotta want this thing and I can't take a day off. Like if I don't play this playoff game, there might not be another playoff game. And so what I need you to understand when you do what you do, listen to me, I'm not talking about what you do there, because what you do there has absolutely nothing to do with making that person surrender. What you do there has everything to do with what time you wake up.
What is it that you're doing right now that would be a liability for you? As you begin to look toward the future and take inventory of yourself, what is it about you right now that you've got to leave this behind because this no longer fits? Looking at where you want to go, and the kind of person that you must become, the kind of standards that you have for you. What is it that you must do differently? Unless you change the way you're thinking, unless you change your behavior, you're going to continue to produce the results in your life. See, all of us are winners, but some of us are producing results that we don't want. And so all you have to do is look at your game plan, look at your strategy. How is it that you have been being? What is it that you've been doing to produce this? So you are the director, you are the producer, you're writing the script, you're the star of your life. And as you begin to look at your life, you can decide whether or not it's a smash or whether or not it's a flop. That's in your hands. Look at your life, look at where you want to go. Don't worry about your circumstances. Don't worry about your age. You want to make this your decade, you've got to start saying yes to your life. You've got to start saying yes to your dreams, yes to your unfolding future, yes to your potential. So you've got to make a conscious, deliberate, determined effort to say yes to your dreams. Why not? Why not me? Don't spend time like most people going through life complaining. Use that energy to get up from there and move on and get on with your life. You got to learn to let the past go so you can grow. Many people never act on their dreams because they allow their past experiences to determine what their possibilities are. Whatever you've done in the past, that's not a reflection of your possibilities. That's just a reflection of your consciousness.
It's no surprise that so many people today have a great deal of uncertainty about where life, the world, the economy is going. We're going through massive changes, and some of them are unprecedented. We haven't seen for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. And yet at the same time, we inherently know that with all this change, there's opportunity, that there's a chance for our lives to be better than they've ever been. The transformations that are happening in science and technology can truly change the quality of our lives, the length of our lives, the way we experience life. And yet, day to day, most people live, I think, with a great deal of foreboding, a great deal of uncertainty. And so I thought it might be nice to just drop in for a couple of minutes and give you a couple of triggers to remind you what I know you know in your heart. And that is, we are not made to survive, we're made to thrive. Human beings, our spirit, our capacity to adapt, our ability to grow, our ability to learn with lightning-like speed, our ability to find a way to serve others, that calling inside of us that we have as a parent, or as a friend, or someone who truly cares, when we put our fear aside because there's something we want to serve greater than ourselves, we all have that ability to find that passion in our life. And as we now are in 2014, a lot of people start out with a new year and it becomes a trigger for, you know, the possibility of a new life, but that disappears after a few disappointments, after coming up with a few New Year's resolutions that within a week or two they've already broken. I'm going to talk to you about just the simple core of what you and I are made for. We are not made to survive. We're not made to manage our pain or get through it. We're made to be creators of our lives. We can create anything. Anything we can dream about, we can create. And I know that sounds like positive thinking, you know, just BS. But in your soul, there have been times in your life, I know, when you've had something that you wanted so much. Maybe you wanted something for someone you care about. Maybe you wanted something for yourself. But you became so obsessed with something, achieving it, experiencing it, whether it was a transformation, you know, in yourself, a change in your business, you know, making a certain amount of money, getting a job, you know, increase of some position increase. Maybe it was doing something for your mom or your dad or your kids. Somewhere in your life, you've gotten obsessed enough to really want to create something that you may not even know how you were going to do it, but you just wanted it, desired it, that you started all of a sudden taking action and you got insights. And before you knew it, what used to be just this impossible dream became a reality. Is it fair to say that at some stage in your life that there are some things today in your life that were once just a dream or a goal that once seemed difficult or impossible, whether it be the job you have or the relationship you're in and might be taking for granted? Is there anything in your life today that was once like that? Well, then you and I are creators. And very often when we get overwhelmed by so many things we feel out of control by, we start getting into being managers of our life, managing our pain, managing through the situation. So my purpose here is to say, what does it take to thrive once again? So let me give you five quick keys. Number one key to thriving is you've got to allow yourself to be able to take advantage of uncertainty. Yes, the world is uncertain right now. Uncertainty is change. Change is life. We both know that. We all know that. But if you and I are going to become masters, we have to understand that we don't have to work on change. Change is automatic. Progress is not. If you and I are going to make progress here in 2014, whatever stage of the year you're looking at this, progress comes when you tell yourself the truth and you're able to feel the uncertainty and take action anyway. The thing that stops us all is fear. It's no surprise. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of the unknown, fear of not looking good. And that fear we could translate into the simple thing of uncertainty. Now, when you look at someone who's incredibly successful, you look at someone who's truly a leader in their life or in their field, the one thing they have in common is they exude this sense of certainty. Now, where's that come from? Is it inborn? Are they lucky? Are things just going their way? No, great leaders know how to step in the uncertainty and bring the certainty to the situation. Most people in life, we really feel like the level of stress in our life comes to how much of life do you feel like you control, or how much does life control you? Do you tend to control more of what's going on or events controlling you? It's very easy to have those events start to take control unless we take control of what's between our ears, our own mind. You see, what you and I focus on, massively affects how we feel, whether we're thriving or surviving. If you focus on what you can't control, if you focus on the past, if you focus on what's missing from your life constantly, that pattern of focus will make you frustrated, overwhelmed, depressed. It won't even matter if you're, you know, taking antidepressants. If you keep focusing on what you can't control, what's missing from your life, you're gonna feel depressed still. You can take as many antidepressants as you want. Focus equals power. If you wanna thrive, you gotta focus on what you can control. You gotta focus on the difference you can make. You gotta focus on what's already in your life that you're grateful for. And I have a little process here at the end that's my gift to you, which is just a simple ritual that can bring you back to this place. So one thing that leaders do is they focus on the things they want, they focus on what they can control, they focus on what they have a combination of gratitude, strength, and commitment. They really unleash the second element, they have a vision. They have something that they're after, something they wanna create, something they wanna contribute, something they wanna give, something they wanna make happen. And that's when you become a creator again instead of a manager of life. And it's easy to lose that sense of vision in your life through disappointments. Hey, we've all had them. You get all excited about something and then, you know, life seems to crush it. Somebody betrays you. You betray yourself, you don't follow through, and then you don't trust yourself at the same level. What makes somebody a leader is they build this certainty, and not only with focus, not only do they get a vision for what they want, but they bring that certainty in their body. Listen, if you've ever been to one of my live events, you know that one of the greatest things about, let's say, Unleash the Power Within, is you go through a weekend where you literally train your nervous system to have certainty. I mean, how the heck do we get people to storm through fire? It's not about firewalking. It's about getting yourself to be able to take action in the areas of your life that normally you would more than hold back, where your brain would take over and say, I can't do this, are you crazy? Somebody else did it, but not me. What we do is get people in a state where you're gonna follow through, where you're gonna face your fear and do it anyway. And the way we do that, besides changing people's focus, showing how to direct and control that focus, is also by learning how to use your body as the tool to change your state. Listen, if I drop my shoulders enough, if I were to breathe shallow enough, if I were to slow down and say, you know, I don't know, I'll give it a try, and go into this state, I'd be like Samson getting his hair cut off, right? Because what we don't realize is that our mind is directly affected by the way we use our body. If you change the tempo in which you move, if you change the way you breathe, if you change the way you use your voice, you literally change your biochemistry. And the one thing that you'll see that's the same with the greatest golfer in the world or the greatest musician or the greatest, you know, actor is they have this sense of certainty, and it isn't born. It's something that you make as a habit. You drill it into yourself. I sure as heck didn't have that sense of certainty growing up, not even close. And what I found myself doing early on is I felt so uncertain, I couldn't get myself to do anything. So I developed these rituals of certainty. I would go on these runs, and on the run, even though I didn't feel like it, I would do these incantations where I would say out loud over and over again, you know, God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I'm one with God, and God is everything. And I would say that over and over and over for 30 minutes. Just crazy, and I would envision that God's circulating, his wealth circulating my life, and I'd see the wealth of love and friendship and impact and growth and economics and all these things, physical fitness and aliveness. I'd see this wealth of abundance flowing, oceans of it, into my life as I went and did these things. If you envision something clearly enough and you bring certainty to it over and over again, if you engage your physical body in a simple ritual, it could be as little as 10 minutes a day. I call it my hour of power, or 15 minutes to be fulfilled. And all you do is you take 5 minutes, and in those first 5 minutes, you get yourself moving and you get yourself in a state of certainty in the way you move and the way you breathe. You focus on what you're excited about in your life. You focus on what you want to create, what you want to bring to your children, what you want to bring to the world. And it changes your state. We all know what happens when you're out of state, when you're burnt out, when you're frustrated, when you're overwhelmed, you snap at people sometimes, feel bad about it. You didn't mean to, it's just the state you're in. So to thrive this year, take uncertainty and bring certainty to it. To thrive this year, get what I call a compelling future. Pick anything, a goal, a dream, a desire, something that excites you so much that you're gonna feel yourself compelled to actually find a way to make it happen. You've done it before. You've gotten obsessed. You don't even know how you did it, but things happen and you've got yourself to where you want to be. Let's make that happen this year, right now. Regardless if it's later in the year or the beginning of the year you're watching this, I made this so that hopefully I'd remind you of what you know, that you're made to thrive, not survive. What's the third element that makes somebody an effective leader, makes them a thriver, even when the environment is crazy? Well, they bring certainty to uncertainty. That's leadership skill by focus and physiology. By the way they move, by the way they breathe, by what they do. They bring that certainty because there's something they want so bad that it makes them overcome the fear. They focus on what they want to create, what they want to give, not, oh my God, what if I fail? But the third thing they do is they're decisive. Listen, nothing changes your life like decision. I mean real decision though. Not where people go, well, you know, I'll try, or I kind of decided I want to give this a shot. The word decision comes from incision in Latin, to cut off from. And when you make a decision, you cut off from any possibility except the thing you've committed to. As I always tell people, if you want to take the island, burn the boats. I mean, if you make a real decision, every bit of you is committed to something, it's amazing how life will move for the force of nature of a human being, man or woman, that says, this is how it will be. I don't know how I'm going to get it done, but I know this is what I'm going to do. I know why I'm going to do it. It was a Martin Luther King who said, it's a man, any man who hasn't figured out what he's willing to die for isn't fit to live. If you can find something you're so excited about, if you can find something that will drive you with that certainty, and you add to that decisiveness, you can change anything. You don't like your job, change it. You go, oh, but there's no jobs out there. Bull, right? Change it, start the job, change who you are in the job where you are, and enjoy yourself. Change your perception, change your appreciation. Change your gratitude. Change your daily ritual so you start to enjoy things. Change what you notice. Change from trying to get something to trying to give something. The whole game will change. Decisiveness is the ability to make a decision even though you're uncertain once again. What keeps people from making a decision? Fear of failure. I remember I had a chance to get to know General Norman Schwarzkopf during the time in which he was commanding our forces. An amazing man. And he would step over there in Desert Storm, as they called it in those days, and he could command a guy that was just brilliant. You know, an officer who came out of, you know, Harvard or background of Princeton, and he could take a kid from the inner city and just have that same command and connection with them. And I think part of what they respected about him is he respected everyone himself. He had this connection with people. But the other thing everybody respected was the man was decisive. And I asked him where he developed that decision-making capability, just the willingness to just make a decision and trust. And he said, Tony, I'll tell you where. I worked for this general when I was very young, and I was his assistant. And he said, I remember there was a research project that the the Pentagon had worked on for that time. He said, if I remember right, like 5 years. And there were arguments. It was a very strategic decision for where the Defense Department was going to move towards in the future, how they were going to operate. And he said, there were arguments for both sides. And for 5 years, they'd gone back and forth, and nothing was resolved. And they came to the general that he was serving at that time as the assistant. And they had a meeting, and the meeting lasted 1 hour. And at the end of the hour, the general stood up and said, do that. And he picked one of the two, and he did it with absolute certainty. And in the military, you salute, and you take your orders, and you go. He said, but Schwarzkopf said he was just curious, really curious, to know, you know, how could he get up and make a decision like that? Because Schwarzkopf said, I was the one doing all the research. And there was loads and loads of research, and I know he hadn't read it all. And he said, it bothered me that he'd just make a decision like that without knowing everything he could possibly know. And so he said, Schwarzkopf said, I finally went to him and said, sir, permission to express myself freely. He said, permission granted. He said, sir, how could you make that decision? He said, there are reams and reams and reams of information. You had a 1 hour meeting, you heard what, 20 minutes of discussion for both sides, and you decided the entire direction where things are going to go for the armed services, for this part of the armed services. And he said, how could you possibly do that? You don't have all the information. He said, no one does. In fact, information is important to an extent, but ultimately action is what needs to be taken, and someone needs to decide. He goes, well, how do you know you made the right decision? He said, no one has made a decision, young man, in 5 years and half a decade. What I decided will be right, because either we'll put all our resources and we'll make it right, or if it's wrong, we'll discover that quicker than sitting on the fence for another 5 years, and we'll find out it's not right and we'll change. Leadership is making decisions. If you're going to lead your own life, you got to make decisions. And what Schwarzkopf said is he realized rule number one in life is, when put in charge, when put in command, take charge. Make the decision. If it's right or wrong, you're going to find out quicker than if you sit around. And the interesting thing is, the more you make decisions, the better you get. What makes somebody a leader? What makes somebody a leader is they're willing to make the decision other people won't make. They want to put themselves on the line, knowing that you're going to be wrong in some of those decisions, but you're going to find out quicker, and you can simply adapt and change your approach to still get where you want to go. Be decisive. Don't like your body? Change it. Don't like your relationship? Change it. Start by changing you. If you've changed you, it's still not right, then change it. But the way you make any change happen starts with a decision. All action, all results are mothered or fathered, if you would, by a decision. What's one small decision you can make right now that would take you in a direction you know you need to go? What's a big decision that might be really tough, but if you really made it, truthfully, it would take you on a new direction of your life, because whatever direction you head into will lead to an ultimate destination or destiny. When you know what's right, it's time. When you're still fearful, it's still time. You want to change your life? Decide. Decide something you're going to do. Decide something radical. Commit an act that moves you forward instead of thinking more, because we all can get caught up. You know, I tell people, you get in your head, you're dead. The brain is a great thing to strategize with, but there's a point which you got to get back in your heart, and you got to put yourself on the line and do something. So if you're going to thrive this year, bring certainty to your decision making by just putting yourself in that state and trusting. Trust your creator, not just a manager of life. What do you have to do? Get a vision for what you want. What else? Decide. And step four, real quick, act. There is no such thing as decision without action. A real decision, you cut up things off and you make it happen. You do something. And I've always found in my life, never leave the sight of making a decision to something that's important without doing something in that moment that commits you to follow through. Take some action in that moment. Because otherwise, here's what happens. You get excited or something makes sense to you, you're passionate about it, and you go, I'm going to go do this. And then you go home and you get caught up in emails and phone calls and other people needing things from you. The next thing you know, you're out of state and you don't follow through. Has it happened to you before? I promise you, if it hasn't, it will in the future. People that succeed, when an opportunity is there, they trust. They trust. If I'm going to thrive, this is here in my life for a purpose. Life isn't happening to me. Life is happening for me, and even this pain or challenge or this opportunity is something I'm going to find a way to make use of. I need to make a decision, and I need to do something right now to move things forward in the direction of what I really want for my life. Even if I don't know the final destination, I need to move in that direction. I need to take some form of action. Most people, they have all these visions. Maybe they start to make a little sort of decision, but they don't make a real decision because they don't act on it. And if you don't act on it, your ideas, your dreams, will die in your mind, they'll die in your lips. And think about it. Most people in North America, around the world, the Western world, are they truly fit, strong, and healthy? Do they truly have a relationship that's totally passionate? Do they love their work? Are they economically free? The vast majority, you and I both know the answer is no. If you wanna be like most people, then what you gotta do is figure out how to survive. If you wanna lead, you gotta thrive. And you have that capability, and you're probably already doing it. I'm probably speaking to the choir to some extent. If you're still watching this right now, you've turned me off as a raging maniac who's on a rant, because that's what I am. I'm on a rant right now, a rant to call to your soul to say, no matter how great life is, take it to the next level. Find the way to thrive on the very things that stop other people in the tracks. Thrive on what produces fear inside you and in other people. Thrive on something that you envision that you have a higher purpose for. Thrive by being decisive. Thrive by taking massive action. And if the massive action doesn't work, if what you try doesn't work, just simply try something else. And if that doesn't work, try something else. If that doesn't work, try something else until you find what works. Now you can speed that up by modeling, by finding somebody who's already getting the results that you want to get in your life. Somebody already has lost 30 pounds and kept it off. They aren't lucky, it's been 5 years. Somebody who started with nothing and now they're financially free and their family has an extraordinary quality of life. Why not figure out what they do? Somebody who truly is happy, not because everything's going their way, because they find a deeper meaning and a richness in everything around themselves, whether it be their children or nature or even problems. Because obviously, if we had no problems, we feel dead inside. Problems can either destroy you or call you to become more. If you look at the biggest challenges in your life, if you brought certainty to it, if you brought a vision beyond the problem, if you made some decision of what you're going to change, even if you didn't know how, and if you took immediate action with enough intensity, massive action, you probably found the cure-all. You probably found a way to adapt and get where you want to be. That's what thriving is really all about. But the ultimate thriving is not just breaking through and making things happen. The ultimate thriving for this year or any year of your life is to remember the secret to living is giving. It's to, as corny as that sounds, it's to connect to something bigger than yourself. And it can be done so easily. It can be done right there at home. Instead of running past your kids, looking at your phone, it's stopping, connecting. It's getting, kissing your spouse in a way where those sparks happen, like when you first met, instead of how you doing and moving on. Most of us are moving so fast, trying to manage our lives, that we're not thriving. Thriving comes with depth. You're not gonna find thriving in a friendship that happens in milliseconds online. Nothing wrong with it, it's great connection. But a depth of a real friendship is not your Facebook friend. It's not the same as being with somebody and actually having your full attention, not while you're monitoring what's going on your cell phone. Just the experience of being with somebody. But contributing your caring, contributing your interest, contributing, you know, in a simple way, finding some way to give love, attention, care, joy, or happiness to any human being. It doesn't have to be working in a soup kitchen, but that can be pretty wonderful too. Volunteering an hour in a month, an hour in a week, can change a person's life. But it can be outside world, it can also be really on the inside world. If you want to thrive, then you got to remember life's not about me, it's about we. You already know it. It's in your soul. You know, it doesn't matter what words I say. If I'm saying something that's BS, you can feel it. If I'm saying something's true, you can feel it in your heart and soul. And the thing that's true is we're here for more than just ourselves. And we feel most alive when we're doing something that's beyond ourselves, when there's something where we think that, God, by this interaction, someone's gonna feel more loved, somebody's gonna feel more lifted, someone who is down is gonna get up, someone's gonna know that they're cared for, or I'm gonna help somebody physically, food, skills, ability, talent, whatever. Helping a stranger or helping someone you love, help comes from a place where you're abundant, you're not scarce. So the most important time to help is when you think you need it. So next time you're really feeling down and out, maybe find somebody else who's much worse off, because there's always somebody there if you look around, and see what you can do to help them. And watch what that does to change your entire spirit, psychology, and state. You'll find yourself thriving when you step into a life of meaning beyond you. And ironically, life's about you too. And when you're in that thriving state of growing and giving, in that state of certainty, in that state of a vision of what you want with a sense of purpose, in that state of decisiveness, in that state of action, in that state of giving, God, all hell can be breaking loose and you're still gonna thrive. All hell can be breaking loose and you're having a great time. So next time you're feeling uncertain, remind yourself you're a creator of life, not a manager of circumstances. And I hope this little trigger will remind you that also what'll help you have this is not just this video that you watched here, which maybe watching it again will be helpful, maybe not, it's up to you. But if you get the heart of what I'm really sharing, it leads to the end to understanding that we are really, our lives are a reflection of our rituals. And if somebody tells me this is their dream, this is their goal, I say, that's wonderful. Tell me your plan, but more importantly, let me see your rituals. And we all have rituals, whether you know it or not. Rituals equal results. If you're overweight, it's because your rituals. Just find out what they are and change them. If your rituals are to get up every morning and go to Starbucks and have a mocha smoke, whatever the hell it is you have, you know, and bunch of carbs and whoever knows what, it's not hard to figure out your blood sugar is going to be dropping and you're going to be looking for another coffee a few hours later. That doesn't create a life of energy that's on fire. That creates a place where you're riding the roller coaster of how much energy you have for now. There's an unlimited level of energy with a different ritual. When you start out your day doing what I call really my hour of power or my 15 minutes to be fulfilled. So at 3 or 4 days a week, 5 days a week, it took 5 or 10 or 15 minutes. One every now and then, you'll get so much momentum, you'll give yourself an hour for yourself, an hour to connect to what matters most, an hour to be grateful, an hour to get strong, working out, at least 15 minutes. I'm gonna tell you, it'll frame your life in a different level and you'll find yourself thriving. So take a look at what rituals you have that don't work. What might be some new rituals? Like instead of focusing on what you don't have, being truly grateful for what you do have. Instead of focusing on what you can't control, think what you can do right now to participate in your own rescue, not waiting for someone else to do it. Rituals define us. And so my hope is maybe these 5 things to thrive can trigger you to get in a state where you create some new rituals and that they will create the habits and the experiences of the life that you desire and that you deserve. So that's my rant. I hope it touched you. If it didn't, I apologize because my intent is pure. Blessings to you, and I hope I have a chance to serve and see you soon, maybe at an event or somewhere else in the world. And live strong and live with passion.